football on off the ball.
So that's also not healthy. It's great for the Premier League, but it's probably bad for the rest of the world.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
The League of Ireland Pod, in partnership with Rockshore.
On Off the Ball.
A league of our own. Get the facts. Be drink aware. Visit drinkaware.ie.
Hello there. You're very welcome to another edition of the League LOI Pod here on Off the Ball. It is Stephen Doyle with you this week. And as ever, I'm joined, well, sometimes Gareth McLean. He was away, of course, a couple of weeks ago. We had to get a super sub in there. Or not. No, it was just myself and Vinny, wasn't it? But I can guarantee we have a few super subs lined up, lads, over the next couple of weeks. So you better be pulling in your best performances. That's all I'll say to you. Vinny, you can't stay away from Daly Mount Park at the moment, can you?
I love the place, Stevo. You know that.
You were there Friday night. We might get your thoughts in a moment. Just to bring everybody up to date, I suppose, we're midway point of the season. Obviously, the European teams have played one more game than everybody else. So last Friday, it finished scoreless at Tala Stadium between Shamrock Rovers and Galway United. Bohemians won, Derry City nil. Derry City ending with 10 men. It was a draw between Cork City and Shelburne, 1-1. Sligo Rovers beaten at home by St Patrick's Athletic by a goal to nil. And Waterford 2. Drogheda 2, and another week passes when we can't leave the weekend fixtures without a late goal. One scored there for Drogheda United to get that point down at the RSC. Vinny, you were at Daly Mount Park. Did you make the trip down, G-Mac? I wasn't too sure if you were coming down to Daly or not.
I was there basking in the sunshine and I watched the disaster in Daly Mount.
Oh, jeepers. I'd say you got a better welcome than Vinny, though, all the same.
I wouldn't say that. In fairness, Owen Heary brought me in for a cup of tea, so that wasn't bad.
Ah, good man, Owen Heary.
Yeah, looks after me.
Fair play.
Tea off Owen Heary, and I brought you for dinner. I brought him for dinner. Owen Heary makes some tea. There you go.
That's right. I was well looked after, Steve. Where were you? I was expecting a red carpet.
I was down at Turner's Cross. So I had to do work, unfortunately. I wasn't able to go as a supporter this week or last weekend. So I actually met up with Johnny Dunleavy down there. He made his co-commentary debut on Off the Ball on our live and exclusive coverage of Cork City against Shelburne. Listen, actually, before we do Bose, Derry, do you know something? I was so impressed with Cork City. I think everybody was, especially in the first half. Their play down the through the middle and down the wings, attacking wise anyway, was absolutely brilliant. Carlo Sullivan, very good. Shawnee McGuire, excellent. Gennaro Daniels, who obviously is leaving City now because his loan deal is finished. And then Fitzpatrick on the left-hand side. The link-up between the four players, considering they haven't played as a four much this season, was absolutely brilliant. And I think Gerard Nash will be disappointed they didn't have a bigger lead or a lead at half-time. And do you know something? They were fully deserving of the point. I think one thing that Cork City supporters would be happy with as well was the fact that they were able to grind out that point in the end, because Shelburne did come out strong in the second half. They finished strongly as well. And City have been criticised a lot for having a bit of a soft centre and not being able to defend for the full 90 minutes. They certainly did last Friday night, and they really deserved that point. A very badly needed point. I think you'd both agree for Cork City and for Gerard Nash.
Yeah, look at their team, Stephen. It's a quick question. How was Sean Murray? I obviously seen only highlights of the game, but Sean Murray. Murray, Steve-O, how did he do?
Because I thought he was very good, yeah.
On his day, he's an exceptional footballer.
Yeah, obviously himself and McLaughlin, they play as the double pivot in that 4-2-3-1 formation. Johnny Dunleavy was kind of thinking they might go with the back three to match Shelburne, but they stuck with the 4-2-3-1, and Murray and McLaughlin teamed up in that defensive midfield role. I thought the two of them did really well. Murray does well kind of protecting that back four. You just kind of think that he doesn't have that kind of maybe the size and physicality of a Kerr McEnroy or Gary O'Neill, you know, those kind of players perhaps. But look, I suppose Keith Buckley's been doing it for Bohemians for years. He isn't necessarily the biggest player in the league, but he's well able to get physical. But I thought he was good. McLaughlin pretty good as well. His set piece deliveries gave Shelburne a lot of trouble as well. And sorry, I shouldn't move on without complimenting Beng as right back. I think he set a bar for himself on Friday night. He's played well this season, but he hasn't been consistently good. And his performance against Shelburne was absolutely brilliant. He had them on toe post on that left-hand side. Really, really good. His cross into the box for excellent. And of course, he played a big part in the Seanan Maguire goal, putting that ball onto his head for that close-range header. So Mbeng, I think, really needs to find those consistent performances because he's a very talented player. So maybe we'll talk about Dadymount Park next. Gareth McGlynn, Derry City. Look, I haven't watched the game in full just yet. I do plan on doing so. Had to watch highlights. You've had an Indian sign over Bohemians for a long, long time, and especially at Dadymount Park. So where do you think it went wrong last Friday night?
Well, going in there, it's 1 loss and 9 at Dalymount. We were pretty confident. I mean, coming off the defeat from Shamrock Rovers, I don't think Tiernan and the team were too worried. I think the performance wasn't as bad as people say. They put it up to them for maybe 45 minutes, 50 minutes. Shamrock Rovers are flying. So they're going pretty confident. But then the problem is on the right-hand side. Against Drogheda, he started with Kieran Harkin on the right-hand side, pulled him at half-time, wasn't working. He then continued with Shane Ferguson on the right of wing-back, right wing-back. He's a left-footer, he's a left-back, he's a left wing-back. Putting him on the right was desperate. There's just nobody to play there. I thought he should have pushed Can on there. Ronan Boyce was on the bench, and My view on this, if you're fit enough to be on the bench, you're fit enough to start. And he subsequently came on later on and did really well. So the manager put his hands up, made a mistake, rectified it after, I think he took him off after 24, 25 minutes. Then made three subs at halftime. Michael Duffy was struggling before the game with an injury. He obviously didn't last, had to come off. Then he changed the shape and they looked much better in the 4-4-1-1. But Bose, to credit them, they were very, very good in the first 30 minutes. People are saying, oh, the referee and Derry were poor. I thought Bose were really good. They got the tactics right. They moved the ball quickly. Devoy ran the show. He was excellent, man of the match by a country mile. And then had they been a little bit more clinical in the final third, they really should have put the game to bed. But then if you look back through Bose results, they've just managed to win all these games by a single goal. So they've got a wee bit of an issue there, being clinical and being ruthless. But from Derry's point of view, really poor. Much better when they got players into their positions. Adam O'Reilly went right back and was excellent. Boyce went to left back, did really well as well. White came on, did okay. But without creating. And people don't understand. I keep saying this. The way Derry set up, and they're so defensive, Derry are never going to go and create 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 chances in a game. It's just not going to happen. They're going to create 3, 4 chances in a game. They'll win by the odd goal, and that's just the way they're set up and the way the manager is set up. So once you go a goal behind or a penalty after 30 seconds, it's an uphill battle for Derry City. So, it was always going to be tight, but both thoroughly deserved the one.
Finney on Bohemians. I was actually trying to pick my team of the season at the midway point and look at your goalkeepers, and I just noticed that Haraska has actually got the best save percentage of all the best keepers in the league. I wonder though, does that stability that they found with Grehan and with Cornwall and Haraska, that kind of triangle in front of the goal, has that helped? Or do you still kind of feel that there's still that little bit of just there's that concern with Bohemians that the way they play the game, the way they push up so high, that there's always going to be that bit of exposure and ability for teams, opposition teams, to hit them on the break?
I suppose yes and no. I think the advantage is what Dawson Devoy has done. Garrett is right. He ran the show the other day, and I gave him the match to Grehan just for different reasons. But I thought Devoy is running the show for them. I mean, you think Buckley hasn't been in the team. Hasn't needed to be in the team, possibly it's because of the performances of Devoy of lately. As that sitting midfielder, he's been running the game for them. I think I get your point in terms of a little bit vulnerable, but the answer to that is probably no. And that, some of that's down to stylistically of how other teams are playing a little bit and probably suiting them to a point. I think the biggest concern for me is, it's funny, I watched the game back, and I don't normally do that when I do co-coms on it, but I don't know why I watched it back Sunday morning. I was a little bit critical of Ross Tierney, and I'm trying not to be, because I think if I took over job tomorrow, he's on the list of someone I'd love in my team. I think he's that good. I think why I was critical or where I sort of made an error on commentary is I want him to make Bowles title contender, Steve-O. I think he could be that good. And from that number 10 position, he's got to run beyond what it was Clark did today, and he played a slightly different system. I think he is the kingmaker of the team. I think Ross Tierney can, if he was to go on a streak now of in the next few weeks after the break and get 7, 8, 9 goals in the next 10 games, I think that makes them serious contenders for the league. You know, I still think it might be too early for this team, but he is that good of a player. And I think structurally they were very good today. I wasn't sure about the James Clark setup. I think they're missing a centre forward as a team, an out and out centre forward. But there's a lot to like.
I think, can I just say as well, I think that feeds into your point about Ross Tierney, about the centre forward, because when Ross Tierney was playing at his very, very best for Bohemians, it was up alongside Georgie Kelly. And yeah, he was able to play in and around him. Kelly would almost provide a distraction to defenders, that Tierney would be able to pick up space in the box. He could get onto second balls, knockdowns, all that kind of stuff. And the fact that James Clark is essentially, he's a false nine in that Bohemians team. And even when Colin Whelan comes on, Whelan tends to drop deep or go wide. And that means then that Tierney doesn't have that foil beside him in the box, which is where he needs the centre-forward to be. And they're just not doing that at the moment. I don't think that's helping with Tierney's form.
Yeah, but you look at, and this is, I'm not being critical of Tierney, it's just I have him as the as one of the top players in the league, potentially. So I have a high standard for him. But he's a great example of, because of the way they play, at times it's a little bit narrow. So if, as you said, if Clark was to play as one of the midfielders, he generally plays narrow off the right and Dale Rooney wide on the left. So it's again, it's almost a box midfielder. We were up in Drogheda and we've seen that when Colin Whelan played. Colin Whelan has shown defeat. And it's almost congested in that midfield.
Yeah.
Where you're right, a centre-forward pinning two centre-backs would create a little bit more space for him. And he's had flashes of brilliance in all of them games. He started the game really well in Drogheda and then drifted over more because of the style of balls. And again, the other night, he had some brilliant play, a couple of dribbles in the box, really unlucky. I'm not saying he's not playing well. I just want him to go up another level. But the biggest concern for Bowles has to be losing to Sean Gretton now. I don't see him staying around. I think Palace will consider maybe looking at trying him at a higher level that they would perceive a higher level, whether that's SPL, wherever that may be. So the challenge now is, can Lee Kavanagh come and step into them shoes, and can he kick on?
Keane Byrne obviously will be brought back.
Yeah, so I just use Kavanagh as an example. He's sitting on the bench now. So he's one that has to go up to the next level, and that's what they need. So very impressed by Bowles. The rotations in midfield was really impressive. Adam McDonald's running power the other night was really good. But the big takeaway from the game for me was, what were Derry City doing? What were they doing? I mean, I look at Gavin White playing as a number 10 and go, look at Michael Duffy playing inverted, Gavin White playing as a 10. They're two of the quickest and most talented potential wingers in the league. You go to Daly Mount and you play them narrow. The changes, all of those chopping and changing tells me that Derry don't know, the manager doesn't know their best 11. You know, you think about how do you improve Derry. It's hard to know because they've got a bit of quality everywhere and they're not using them the right way, so that would be a concern. That was the biggest story for me in terms of seeing Derry live. But full credit to Bowles, tactically they're getting it right at the moment, and the tip on Grass getting goal had nothing to do, Steve-O. Anthony had to do, he'd done really well. That's a test of a real top class keeper.
Listen, we'll fly through everything else because I do want to get to your teams of the season so far. And I know, Vinny, you've got a couple of ideas regards transfers to other clubs. A big point for Galway United, I feel, after what they've gone through in recent weeks. And Shamrock Rovers, I'm sure, though, as well, won't be too concerned. Like, keeping a clean sheet at home, taking a point from a tough team like Galway United, Gareth. I suppose it's just one of those. It's not a bad result for either side, really, is it?
No, exactly. But I think you're right on Galway. I think it's a big transfer window. Obviously, losing Cian Byrne is going to be massive. They're lucky Conor McCormick coming back from injury, coming off the bench and getting a goal recently as well. He's an automatic replacement, but I think they'll want to get reinforcements in there. They're just, and I think I touched on it a couple of weeks ago, they're just conceding goals that you wouldn't expect Galway United to concede. I think you might see, and it'll be interesting to see the second half of the season, because I think they've kind of opened up a little bit at the start of this season compared to last season, gotten away from what they did really well and what brought them success last year. So it'll be interesting to see in the second half of the season if he just tightens it up and shores it up a wee bit more going forward, because you've got the boys up front scoring goals, Hickey scoring goals, Dyer scoring goals. We know Stephen Walsh can score goals. So it'll be interesting to see if he just tightens a wee bit more for the second half of the season. But as you say, that result didn't surprise anyone. But Galway, I think, will be trying to get, and he's really good at this as well, getting in, not saying, right, we need a right back or we need a right midfielder, just picking players that suit their style that are available at that time. They don't go out and look for a right winger or a centre forward, but they pick up players when they're available. It's almost like passive recruitment, and he's very good at it and he's done it really well.
Vinny, I'd say John Russell was probably very frustrated getting St. Patrick's Athletic when they did at home, that they couldn't get something out of that game, like to concede so early in the match. When was it? It was the 10th minute penalty scored by Aidan Keane. I would say it's so frustrating for John Russell that they didn't get something out of that game. And on the other side of things, I'm sure Stephen Kenny will be just happy after what he's been through the last number of weeks just to go into the break with the win under their belts.
Yeah, it almost felt a big result for both teams. Big as in a bit of a blow for Sligo. I'd say they went up there expecting there's a chance to do something. When you look at Elding and Fitzgerald behind King Cavanagh, that gives you a chance. But for Pats, it was a huge result. They needed that 3 points. They've not played well. They're not playing well. Would it shock you if Pats won 4 or 5 games in a row? No, it wouldn't shock me, because I think they've got the makings of a really, really good team. There's still a bit of indecision. I know Sean Hoare is splitting this opinions at the moment. I think he came off at halftime for Grigorowski, who I think with a run of games will do better. I know Garrett's seen him up in Derry and he wasn't good on that day, but that's because, I mean, you can lose players by leaving them out the way he's been left out for Sean Hoare maybe, and if there's a way back for Grigorowski, I think they're probably a better team with it. I think Joe Redmond has got to get back to the levels he's at. We all presume he's the best centre half in the league. A lot of people would think that, but he's made a lot of mistakes and stuff you'd like to see him do a little bit better. He's got to get back to his best. And so look, for Pats it's a big win. Stephen is generally, the glass is half full, so we think we're only X amount of points off second place and we can kick on from there. So it was a big game for both of them, but for Sligo that's a bit of a blow, and It feels like there might be a bit of momentum coming for Cork. So Sligo have to stay at it and pick up some wins over the next number of weeks.
Yeah, absolutely. And just to finish on that Waterford draw of the match, Garrett, because I suppose John Coleman coming in there, a team that have been winning a lot of games and he hasn't managed yet to win one himself, he'd be frustrated having a lead so late on and then getting done by a Conor Keighley goal right at the death. I would say he's very frustrated going into that international break.
Yeah, it looked like an unbelievable game. I mean, if you think of Lonergan scored in the 19th, then Warren Davis hit back in the 23rd, then they go in front again, brilliant goal again by Hammond, 81st, and then of course the 93rd minute, Conor Keighley. How many goals has he got as well, by the way? He got 2 in the Brandywell. I mean, how important is he to Drogheda right now? If they were to lose him or he was to get injured, he would be a huge loss, because we've seen Doherty go through a couple of variations of the back three. He doesn't seem comfortable, but he's the mainstay. So he would be as valuable as Barrett at Shells or Pico at Rovers or Conley at Derry. So again, brilliant from him. But Waterford, I understand he hasn't got a win, but he'll be pretty confident. The way the players are playing, the, how many goals that they're scoring, they're in games all the time. It's only a matter of time. I think they're playing well enough. The problem is, and it seems to be a problem all through the league, centre half. You can't go the whole second half of the season with Darragh Leahy and McDonald, centre half partnership. Defensive midfielder, and was traditionally a left back. They really need to get that reinforcements in at that stage. And then they haven't really kind of backfilled Bagley's position. He's been a big loss for them. He really got them playing, got them ticking, and controlled games for them. So I think they've got enough at the top end of the pitch. Noonan, Lonergan and Almond. It's just that middle part in the centre halves that seemed to be a bit of a problem at the minute. So a bit, another big window for Waterford as well. Drogheda, I don't see many changes. The only one that they'll be concerned about is the three in midfield. Having replacement from them, so Markey, Brennan, and the third one. Help me up, boys. Help me out here.
Heaney.
He's a replacement for him, but the ex-Shells guy, brilliant to set pieces.
Shane Farrell.
So when they play, they're exceptional. But when one gets injured or suspended, Heaney's the only one real direct replacement. So God forbid if a couple of them were to get injured, then you have a problem. That's the only part of Drogheda I see maybe somewhere that they could get some depth.
Well, Conor Keighley has 5 goals, just behind, one behind Mason Melia, Aidan Keane, and Michael Duffy, Padraig Hammond, and Graham Burke. So not doing bad at all for a centre back. So that leaves us going into the half time or mid season break, I should say. Shamrock Rovers top of the table on 36. Drogheda United and Bohemians behind them on 30, with St Pat's on 29. Shells then further back on 27. Same points as Derry City. And then it's Galway 24, Waterford 23. And then Cork 13, Sligo Rovers 12. So still so much to play for. And you would not be making any predictions going into the second half of the season with any confidence. Moses Dyer, the top scorer so far with 9 goals. And just behind him, Warren Davis on 7, along with Owen Elding, which is pretty impressive for a man playing with the club at the bottom of the table. So, lads, the moment of truth. And I should say, before we get to your mid-season teams of the year so far, the League of Ireland pod on Off The Ball, brought to you by Rockshore, of course. Hashtag a league of our own. Always be drink aware. Get the facts and visit drinkaware.ie. Vinny Perth, we'll get your team first, will we?
No, we'll go with the Garrett. I want to get Garrett.
Go ahead, Vinny. I've still got a couple of decisions to make.
Well, come here. Do you know what? I'll tell you what, lads. I've got mine done.
Go ahead, Steve.
I'll give you my team of the season so far, right? Now, I had to put down like a short list first, and I had to pick them out at the end. So I put down all my goalkeepers, fullbacks, centre backs, midfielders, and centre forwards. I've come up with, in goal, Joe and Ang. And then I've gone with a 3-4-1-2 formation. How about that? So centre backs, Conor Keighley, Pico Lopez, and Sean Graham. That's my back three. Wing backs, on the right, I've got Owen Lamb. And on the left, I've got Josh Honahan. And then in central midfield, I've got Matt Healy and Kerr McEnroy, with Dawson Devoy just ahead of them. And then up front, I've got Graham Burke. And then I went for either Warren Davis or Moses Dyer. And I think I'm angling towards Warren Davis just because of his consistency in every match. Dyer has scored 9 goals. I know he's the top scorer, but maybe just not as consistent with his performances. And I just think Warren Davis' impact with that draw of the team has been brilliant. And he's been selected for the under-21s. He's just flying. So that's my 3-4-1-2 formation.
Garrett, over to you, Mum.
It sounds decent. I believe it was tight between Anang and Grabowska. But I think Grabowska, again, seeing him live, anytime I've seen him live, he's been incredible. So he's just pipped Anang. Keighley's got to play. Redmond's in there. I think his performances have been very, very good. I think he's the one mainstay within Pats that have basically held the defence together. Graham, for me, has been the other one. 3 at the back. McEnroy is again sitting midfielder. He's literally sitting there with a finger in their dam. Everyone else is going forward. So on the right, I've gone for Honahan. On the left, Elding. And in front of those two, or those three, you've got Burke and Byrne, the Shamrock Rovers duo, and then Dyer and Davis in front of that. So that is my team. I don't think Davis could have been left out. He's been a breath of fresh air to the league. I mean, we were kind of talking about the fresh, the next up-and-coming young players. We've obviously got Melia and Keane and boys like that, but to me, Davis has been really, really impressive.
Yeah, that's so a,
Steve, I'm going to do something a bit different, right? So talent is... Why is this goalkeeper not getting into the team, for example?
Because I think he's playing behind arguably the best, most consistent defence in the league, and I think that Haraska and Anang have had to work harder to be better goalkeepers because they haven't been playing in front of good defences or behind good defences.
Yeah, but
their job is harder. Dennison's job is easier because he's got a better defence in front of him.
Yeah, so Dennison won them the game against Bowles last week.
One game, come on.
Yeah, okay. The next question is Healy in midfield for Shamrock Rovers at top of the table. He's been exceptional.
Yeah, I've got him in my team.
Yeah, Garrett.
No, I hadn't got an. It was too defensive for me. I went Kevin Keegan style. We have McEnroy with his finger in the dam, and everyone else going forward.
Oh, yeah.
And Michael Duffy has to be in both teams.
No, first six. And we all know I'm a Michael Duffy fan club here. First six games, incredible. By far and away, the best player in the league. How Markey got player of the month that month is beyond me. It's just a typical Dublin media. But let me tell you, since then, the standards have just dropped. And I think he is carrying an injury as well, by the way. So I think we'll give him a bye ball on that. But the standards that he had in the first six games, incredible.
And Galway United don't get centre forward into your teams. Well, Moses Dyer's
a mate. Hickey was nearly in ahead of Byrne for me, Jack.
So the point I'm making is it's like you're splitting hairs in a few of these people, and I get where you're coming from. I just look at it a little bit differently. So what I've done is, Steve, to test your brain here is right. I'll run through real quickly.
Okay.
How do these teams get better? Okay. Shamrock Rovers, can they get a wing back in? Okay. I think it's really important since, like, you know that Clark has been injured. Can they get a wing back in to their team? So that's so I'm putting myself in the eyes of a manager of all these. I would say the threat that Ferrugia gave them last year, they've got to get a winger in, particularly around Europe and particularly around, they obviously got the striker done, particularly around retaining their league title. I look at Drogheda and I take Garrett's point. I think they've got to get a midfielder in there. I look at somebody unattached, for argument's sake, great example of Richie Powell.
Hang on, Vinny, are we doing your transfer list here now? Are we not getting your team of the year?
No, team of the year, I argued, which is it's somewhere between the two of you. So
who's running this podcast?
Steve-O, listen to me for a second.
Isn't that the Vinny Perth show?
Hang on a minute.
Right, so real quickly, Drogheda United need to get a midfielder in, Richie Towell, okay? Bowles need a centre-forward in. There was one sitting on the bench for Derry the other night that would change their team.
Hang on. If we're gonna do your transfer list here, we're at least going to name the players. So you're saying to me, Drogheda United should sign Richie Towell. Richie Towell, he's very busy running a business at present, but he's not against signing for a new club, I don't think. Bohemian, do you think should sign Pat Hooban?
I did say
to Alan Reynolds when I spoke to him after the Drogheda United game, I asked him on the record in an interview, are you interested in Pat Hooban? He said, he's a Derry City player, I'm not going to discuss him, so that was fair enough.
And to be fair, the challenge is Pat leave to a rival club chasing Europe, that'll be the challenge. But he's sitting there rotten. Can they afford just to pay him for the rest of the season? Maybe they can. But I think you need a centre forward. I use Pat as an example, but I think Bowes need an out-and-out centre forward. Cement that European spot and go and get after it. Okay. When I look at Drogheda, St. Pat's next, they've got four fullbacks. But it feels like when we look at Derry, you look at, say, how good Duffy is. Duffy's at his best, guy to tell you when Doherty plays behind him. I think to make their wingers better, they probably need at least one fullback of a level above what they have. I'd be chasing a fullback if I was them. But also, I've got huge concerns about their centre midfield at the moment. I think Lennon hasn't got back to the levels that he was at last year. It looks like I've seen him struggling with people running beyond them at different stages. Unless Lennon gets back to where he was and Forrester being injured, they may need to sign a centre midfielder. when I look at Shells, the obvious one is the centre half. But since they lost, it feels like they need an out-and-out striker or a winger. Not an out-and-out striker. They've got Boyd and Meepo, but it feels like they need a goal-scoring forward in that team for me. So Paddy Barrett coming back, can they get away with, if they were only allowed to sign one? If they probably the one team that need to. I think they need a centre half and they need a winger of some sort. We think of the goal Jarvis got for them. When I look at Derry, it's funny. In sixth, I go, I don't know what they need. They need to find a pattern of play and stick to it and a way of playing. Doherty being injured again, missed about 8 games, didn't he, Gareth? And now he's injured again. They probably need a left back to go and make Michael Duffy the best player. I think Galway United probably need a goalkeeper. There's been a bit of chopping and change. Mm-hmm. I would say if they got a goalkeeper, that would of the highest level. Funny, our league is full of top-class goalkeepers for me. If they got a goalkeeper or maybe a centre-half is where they need to strengthen. Waterford in 8th, if I was in charge of them, I'd be looking for a centre-half. Andy Boyle's been injured. Long-term, look, I think it's a calf injury. Definitely need a centre-half because, as Gareth said, they're not bad going forward. I think it's probably the same for the bottom two. Cork City, really strong going forward. Strong in midfield. Greg Bulger's back. Sean Murray gives them that bit of experience in there. So can they get centre-half in or maybe a left-back is where they will have to sign a goalkeeper potentially as well. And with Sligo, I think Sligo need somebody alongside John Matten who's going to be commanding a centre-half. So a few of them bottom teams are looking for either centre-halves or sort of defensive players, and at the top end it's the opposite to it. So it feels like it could be a huge transfer window for a lot of clubs, because if you think about it, even from even Waterford in 8th, you're 3-4 points off European football. Do you invest as in a club and go after European football? Because it's very achievable this year. Everybody's so close to each other. And then does the likes of Bowles say, you know what, we're going to have a go off winning the league title this year? If Rovers are any way vulnerable, then we've got to be ready to pounce. So it feels like a big window for a lot of teams. And that's why I'm fascinated. I've put my head in a manager's view there with a couple of the clubs. Interesting to see what they sign.
Have you, either of you, Gareth or Vinny, heard of any players that we might even see coming from the UK or from Scotland, England, I should say.
The big one for me, Steve, the big one for me is James Brown. He's left Ross County. I mean, we're talking there, Vinny mentioned about Pats. I mean, I mentioned Derry need a right side, either a wing back or a full back. Don't get me wrong, Ronan Boyce has been one of the standout players, but he's literally been there on his own. He's playing every week and he's injured when he's playing, and they're reshaping it. It just doesn't work. So he's a big one for me. We all know what a good player he is. Attacking fullback, he makes the defenders better. He makes the forwards better. The boys in front of him, the right midfield, and he pushes teams back. So he's a big one. It'll be very interesting to see where he pops up.
Outside the draw, I think James Brown makes everybody better. And what I mean by that is it's the one position you think of Drogheda as a manager in terms of the budget. When you look at how strong they are with Lamb and Conor Kane, and they're okay if they stay fit, as much as they'd like James Brown back, they probably need to spend their money elsewhere. But outside of Drogheda, ironically where he was at in League of Ireland, I think he makes, even from Rovers all the way down to Sligo Rovers, he makes both of them, all of them teams, so much better. And if he was available to League of Ireland, I think they'd all want them.
Yeah, absolutely. Go ahead, Gareth.
I'm just thinking, like you mentioned there, Vinny mentioned about all the teams, it's a big one. I think it's bigger for some teams. I think Cork in particular, you mentioned them at the start of the show there, Steve. They have potentially are going to lose a keeper going back on loan. You've got Shipton, Nelson, Daniels, and then you've got O'Sullivan. Now, could they get those players to continue the loan spell, or maybe Sullivan back from Palace, I think he's going to, then that would be an option. But four players and a lot of goals, a lot of creativity, a lot of attacking prowess, like you talked about at the top of the show, going there, and a goalkeeper. We all know how difficult it is to get a good goalkeeper. So I think it's a massive... Now, the only thing is, with Myler and Nash coming in, they will have a massive network of trying to get players in. But how quickly can they get them in, and can they get the right players in? Because as Vinny said, there is a wee bit of momentum with Cork. If they can get it right, which is not easy, they could push on and maybe catch Waterford.
Yeah. Is there any team, bar Rovers, who could get away without signing anybody, Vinny?
It depends what your goals are. Ultimately, that's key. I mean... I think the all outside the Rovers have to do some sort of business. You've got to make yourself better, because I think a lot of teams will strengthen. It's a difficult window, because if you think about it, you're not getting a lot of League of Ireland players movement. If you tried to sign one, like you look at Hooban as a great example, and why I brought him up with Bowes earlier on, are Derry willing to give one of their rivals for European football one of their players? I mean, it's a bit small-minded in one sense, as in, if he's not good enough for you, then just let him go. But there's always a fear in managers that you'll go and score 10, 15, 20 goals for Bowes in the second half of the season. So the answer, I'm not sure, Steve-O. I'm not sure outside the Rovers if people can get away with not investing in their squad. When you look at Pats, they have a huge squad. They have a big, big squad, lots of players, very lots of players. And that's why it's actually harder to find where the two of them could bring in players. Because, as I said, we've got four fullbacks, got four or five midfielders. Derry have talent everywhere, just haven't found the best way to use it. So, but I think this is an opportunity. If I was a manager now, I'd be knocking on the chairman's door saying, this is an opportunity, let's go and chase European football. Let's take the rewards with that next year. Invest now, and the rewards will come for next season. And that's the way you've got to be thinking.
But the big thing, Steve, at this stage of the season is getting players off the books. You can't just go and sign. If you have 23 players in the squad, you can't just go and sign another three or four. Like, that's crazy. You need to actually get players moved on. And getting players moved on at this stage of the season is really difficult. So you've got to make room and free up wages and budget to be able to sign players. That's the most difficult thing, I think, at this stage of the season.
Great stuff, lads. Well, listen, we've no matches this Friday night. I suppose we're going to have to watch Ireland.
You don't want me team of the season, no? Okay. No
well, you wouldn't give it to me when you're listening to our time as well.
You're right, Steve. I don't want to hear it now, anyway.
Yeah, listen, that's it. You had your chance. So, look, no matches this Friday. I suppose we're going to have to watch Ireland, aren't we? Just quickly, Robbie Brady named the Senior International Men's Player of the Year. You know, I love Robbie, and he's a great player, and he has done really well, but it's a bit bleak, isn't it, that a player who's been around for so long is getting the Player of the Year and there's no real breakthroughs there in his position. Is there any chance we might see Josh Holohan getting a bit of game time over the two matches quickly, Vinny?
Yeah, I think there is. I think people have to look at the Icelandic model and way they promoted a lot of the players from within. This is not a nice thing to say, and it might upset people, but also the manager will think it's putting them in a shop window. Who knows? Other people will then, you know, it's about building their squad. So if you play championship football, for argument's sake, this time next year, then we've got another player to pick from in our pool. So I think there's a huge chance he will play. I think, yeah, big chance. And best of luck to him. I hope it goes really well for him. I think it's been a difficult week for him. I didn't like the comments aimed towards him this week. I think he could have waited for a week or so, but that's how his manager decided to deal with it. It is a break. And just to touch on the break real quick, I know I touched it on the AM show the other day, Steve-O. It doesn't have to be a week off for people. It's okay to give fellas 5 days off. Someone's just throwing it out there.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, listen, best of luck to Josh Holohan in the Irish squad, and hopefully he does get some game time. I will say I did have him earmarked a few seasons ago when he played on the left of that back three for Cork City against Bohemians. Shamrock Rovers got in there and they signed him. So listen, the League of Ireland
pod... He was in my team of the year as well, by the way. Just
indeed. Well, the League of Ireland pod on Off the Ball brought to you by Rockshore, hashtag a league of our own. Always be drink aware. Get the facts and visit drinkaware.ie. And next week we'll be looking ahead to five games games on Friday night. Cork City at home to Bohemians. Galway go to Derry City. Shelburne against Shamrock Rovers at Tolka Park. Big, big game there. St. Patrick's Athletic hosting Drogheda United. And Sligo Rovers at home to Waterford. Thanks a million, guys. Myself and Gareth McLean are off to start negotiations about Pat Hooban. And we'll chat to you next week.
Football on Off the Ball.
So that's also not healthy. It's great for the Premier League, but it's probably bad for the rest of the world.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.